fasting in the new year, month of January, and our home will be open 7 to 8 every Monday through Friday for a time of prayer. So please come and join us and just pray how the Lord would lead you to fast. So with that being said, would you stand with me? Let's give God glory for his word. And children are free to go to, wait in the back to go to children's church, escorted by their teacher. Father, we thank you for your word that is alive and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit. Thank you, God, that all scripture is God-breathed and inspired, useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in your righteousness. Amen. Amen, amen. I'm going to complete today this brief series on stewarding the new year. We talked about fasting a few weeks ago and what it means and the blessing that comes when we just lay it all for the Lord. We talked about tithing 2 weeks ago. That let's give God our first and our best at the beginning of the year and make this a commitment. Today I want to talk about something you don't normally associate with stewarding, but that is the fear of the Lord. I've got to be honest with you. I'm going to more talk about it than actually preach to you a very well-organized three-point sermon, which I know my wife will be disappointed because she likes 1, 2, 3. But I want to just talk to you today more than anything else about some observations about what we're going to discuss. And the reason this has been on my heart, because the Lord brought a revelation to me a few weeks ago about this. And I'll just be honest, I've heard the Holy Spirit speak to me about this. And I will be preaching and sharing to myself about this as I am sharing with you. Okay? So this is not, oh, you're wrong, I got it right, let's do it. This is, hey, I'm just sharing with you what God is showing me. That's all it is. And teaching me that I'm still learning. Proverbs 3:9-10 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. Wisdom. What is wisdom? Well, let's look at knowledge first. Knowledge is data. It's information. It's knowing something. Wisdom, as we've said a few times in the past, is the application of the knowledge in a way, the way that God wants it to be done. It's God's way, God's timing, God's words, God's methodology, God's people, God's resources. It's the application of that knowledge in what already has been established in heaven. It's the revelation of heaven and how God wants this done, that as we seek him, he brings that revelation and we can manifest it here on earth. That's wisdom in the Bible. Psalm 110:10 says again, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and a good understanding of all those who do his commandments. His praise endures forever. Well, if you're doing it God's way, it's going to happen to God's outcome that he's already ordained. So therefore, what am I going to do? Praise him, right? When God is revealed, when God shows up, when God does things his way, and awesome things happen, what can I help but doing but praise him? Right? His praise is going to endure forever. I'm going to praise him because God's way is always the right way. Fear the Lord is the beginning of it. Twice he says it here. Now, both times, both scriptures, the word used for fear in Hebrew is yira, Y-I-R-A-T, or with an H, either way. That's the word for fear. And what it means, and I'm going to quote a couple of things from the HebrewForChristians.com, how they describe it. It does not denote a crippling terror of God, but a reverential awe of the glory of his presence as he daily condescends to be involved in our lives. Yira is really a form of devotion, a consciousness of the sacredness and the mystery of receiving life itself from the living God, and essentially draws upon gratitude of God for this great gift. So there's a measure of thankfulness. It's reverent awe of who God is, but it's also saying, wow, I am so grateful that I am privileged to be in his presence. That I am in the presence of not just royalty, but the Most High, and I don't take for granted. And I am so thankful that there was this wonderful opportunity for me to be in his presence. I don't care who the president is or what your political leanings are. If I get an invitation to go to the White House and meet the president and his wife and spend time with him and have dinner with him, I'm going to be blown away. I'm going to be thankful because it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing. And it's an honor to be allowed and invited to this. So I will approach it with a thankful heart because of the position the person that I'm approaching holds and that I get to be with them. How much more with God? The position that God holds as the Lord Most High, and that I get to have fun with him. I get to fellowship with him. I get to worship him. I get to speak to him, and he actually talks back to me. And guess what? He says, you know, imagine, you know, if the president says, you go ahead and sign that bill into law. Well, God says, you go ahead and you do what I want you to do and move in that power. How awesome is that? Because every spiritual blessing under heaven has been given to us in Christ Jesus. We've been equipped with that, right? So keep this in mind as we think about where we are today and where we're going into this new year. And I'll tell you what I mean by that in a minute more. Vira Adonai, which is the whole statement, the fear of the Lord, it's such an attitude of devotion yields wisdom, which is the result of practicing the presence, constantly engaging in his presence. It's not a one-shot deal. It's you're there, you're learning there, and you are just in complete awe and rejoicing of it, of the Lord in our daily lives. In James 3:17, James tells us the wisdom is first pure, then full of peace, gentleness, mercy, good fruit, and sincerity. So this is the fruit of that. So it's, I'm in his presence, he is in me, he abides in me, I in him, and then this flows out of me, but it's not my stuff, it's his stuff flowing out of me. But it begins with the fear of the Lord, that reverent awe. And this is where I want to come to. The fear of the Lord in Proverbs 15:33 is the instruction of wisdom. The instruction of wisdom. This is the foundation, the beginning of wisdom. And honor, and before honor is humility. And this is where I want to really take us to. Humility. Honor is humility in doing these things, in the fear of the Lord. And what the Lord kind of showed me is, I was asking him, why are we so flippant, just to be honest, about the things of God? And this is where we're going with this today. Why are we so flippant about the things of God? Why do we just take something for granted? Or why is it that when we choose not to do what Scripture says we are to do, or we clearly know Holy Spirit is saying, don't do it, yet we do it anyway. What is behind it? Well, the Holy Spirit said there's a lack of reverent awe for who I am. There is a lack of fear of the Lord in your life because you don't realize the consequences. You don't recognize who I am fully in your heart. You take it for granted. Now, if I were to call the White House and make an idle crack or threat or joke of some kind, I'm having the Secret Service at my house. Then, you know, I might think it's all fun and games, but when they show up knocking at my door and taking me in handcuffs, I'm going to realize, oh my gosh, what did I just do? And believe me, Reverend Awe is going to be there about what I just did and to whom. But how much more with God? Why do we do the things we should be doing and do we not do the things we should do? We lack this. And let's look at 1 Samuel 6. We're going to read it. It's 1 through 15. Again, David. Okay, the story behind this is the Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines. And then David led an army to go and steal it back, bring it back, take back the ark from the Philistines. So now he's there bringing the ark, which represents the presence of God. And David again gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose, not our David, but King David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord, and all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. Then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error. And he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah to this day. And David was afraid of the Lord that day. Remember that. Up till this point, David wasn't afraid of God. He would cry out to God. He would cry to God. This is the first mention ever in Scripture, and this is not the fear of the Lord, afraid of God. The word that is used here is a different Greek word that literally means trembling fear. So now he genuinely feared God, was afraid of the Lord this day, and he said, "How can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now it was told to King David, saying, "The Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God." So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. And it was, when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might, and David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord and shouting with the sound of the trumpet. So basically, here's the story. He's bringing David the ark down. He's got it in this guy Uzzah's house. He said, "Let's now move it from Uzzah's house into Jerusalem, where it's supposed to be." They put it on a cart. The animals carrying the cart stumbled a little bit. The cart looked like it was going to tip over. This guy, I'm sorry, Uzzah went to grab the ark because he touched the Lord's presence and he wasn't supposed to. God struck him dead. David became angry at God. He got scared of what might happen, that he didn't even want to bring the ark into Jerusalem, because if God's going to do that here, what's going to happen in Jerusalem? So he put it in Obed-Edom's house, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom. Why? And then David said, oh, let's bring it back. Well, before we break that down, in Numbers, and we're not going to read the whole thing, but you can do it on your own. Numbers chapter 4 and on talks about the tabernacle and how to transport the tabernacle when they were moving it from location to location. And if you remember, the tabernacle was basically the temple, but pre-temple, that was transportable, okay? So there were specific instructions on literally how to move every single piece that was in the tabernacle. It was very, very specific. God did not leave out any details. How to cover something, what color linen to cover it in, what to put it in. And when it comes to the ark, it was very specific that there's rings around it, that poles are to be driven, and it was meant to be carried by priests on their shoulders. It was very, very specific how God wanted to be honored, because remember, the ark represents his presence. Don't take his presence lightly. So what went wrong here? Well, beginning in verse 3, it says they set it on a new cart. Now, why is that important? What did I just say? Who was supposed to carry the presence of God? Only the priests. They were supposed to carry it on their shoulder with poles. But here they put it on a cart. Who else put it on the cart? Well, when the Philistines stole it, they threw it on something and carried it. Did they follow God's ways? No. They did it their way. So David did it exactly the way they did it. He was not respecting the authority of God. He thought he was doing something good. And a lot of times we do good things, but those good things, without the foundation of godly wisdom, the principles of God, without doing it his way, does not evoke what we hope or what we want. It does not bring about the blessing of God. Because this is what it's about. We want God to honor our new year. So as we enter the new year, as we enter 2018, are we going to do it his way? Are we going to honor him, not just with fasting and with our tithing, but with a recognition of who he is in our lives? That, Lord, we're going to make a clear cut. We're going to say, enough of this. Enough of doing things the way we've done it before. Enough of taking shortcuts. And, you know, my wife convicted me this week about something. Her words were very prophetic. A couple of things I did, and I didn't do it to the fullest extent. She's like, you need to learn to start doing things all the way through. And follow through all the way, not do it half-heartedly. And you know what? Those words stung. Because Jesus never did anything half-heartedly. He went the whole way. He pressed into it fully. When he said, we are going to commit to doing something, they did it. And that's what God's calling. This is part of our call to purity. Is that when we do it God's way, we do it the right way, fully. Not as the world does it, not taking shortcuts. Because, you know, we can water down the gospel, we can show up to church and act like Christians Sunday mornings. We can do all kinds of different things, but are we going to go say, Lord, I'm giving you all of me. I'm giving you all of me. I'm declaring today, like Joshua did, as for me and my house, we'll worship the Lord. We're consecrating this house for you, Lord. We're going to press into it all the way. So David did it the way the Philistines did. He just threw it on the cart, thought nothing of it. He was not honoring the true presence. And then He brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on a hill, and Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. Who's Abinadab? You know who he was? He was one of Joseph's brothers. He was his second older brother, another son of Jesse. And here's the thought that the Holy Spirit kind of put in my heart. You take the presence of God, the most sacred thing in all of the land of Israel at that time, and still was and has been, and you put it in your brother's house. The same brother that when God told the prophet Samuel, go to the house of Jesse to anoint somebody king, that Samuel went up to him and said, nope, not you. So if he wasn't worthy to be king of Israel, was he worthy to have the presence of God like that, so flippantly housed and stored at his home? He's my brother. I trust my brother. But has he been consecrated? Has his house been sanctified for the presence of the Lord? Has he done what he was supposed to do, and was he in line with the Word of God? Or was just David saying, you know, this is what I'm comfortable with. I'm just going to do it because I'm comfortable here with doing it. It's a nice stopping place. So we're just going to leave it right there. Sometimes what we're comfortable with is not what God wants us to do. We have to get out of that. You know, we talk about it all the time. Faith is stepping out of your comfort zone. One of my favorite definitions of faith is risk. Taking that risk. Doing something so out of the ordinary. You know, don't go back to what you're used to. Take the next step. Do it God's way. Press into the things of God. That house was not set apart at all. It wasn't consecrated for the things of God. And here's the other thing. Who's supposed to take care of the ark? Who's supposed to go before the ark? Because we read here, Ohio went before the ark. The priests. Not only were they the ones supposed to carry the ark, they were the ones who were supposed to take care of the ark, prepare it for transportation. They're the ones who are supposed to go before the ark. And we can see that when Israel crossed the Jordan River into Canaan. God gave Joshua specific instruction. Let the priests go. Let the musicians go. This is the spacing. This is the way it's supposed to be. This is how you carry my presence into the new land. You do it my way, with worship, with sacredness, with purity, with holiness, with faith. You don't just flippantly do this. You don't take it for granted. But here we read, Ohio went before the ark instead. And this is what I love, and this hit me hard. Then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir, wood, and harp, and stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And Uzzah died. Anyway, what does that tell you? Worship was dead worship. When we worship, who are we worshiping? We're worshiping Him. Why do we worship? To express our heart's love for our God, to get into His presence, to connect with Him, you know, because He's enthroned on our praises. They're playing music. They're going through the motions. They're having church without Jesus showing up. This is what I like to call a nice service, where everybody walks away going, oh, I felt good. The music sounded great. What a wonderful message Pastor Mike preached. Boy, it made me feel so good. But Jesus never showed up. God wasn't there. This was empty. It was empty. because they did not do it His way. They did not honor Him. Oh, this whole morning's worship was about bringing honor to God. He's not being honored. And what happened? When God's not honored, what do we start doing? When things start falling apart and don't go the way, wait a minute, God, we did this for You. We did that for You. And He says, I do not know You. I haven't hung out with You in a while. What do we start saying? We start blaming. Why are You letting this happen? What is wrong here? Let's us fix this. That's where David got scared. He got angry at God. When David should have been angry at himself. David, king of Israel, who is a representation to the people of God. Was mad at God when he should have looked in the mirror and said, Lord, I confess my sin to You. I messed up. Let me get it right. Joshua, when they messed up at Jericho and somebody took something they shouldn't have taken, consecrated all the people at the mountain by Ai. All the people consecrated said, one man's mess up, one family's mess up affects the whole nation. So Lord, as a nation, we want to consecrate ourselves to You. Here David is angry at God. He's scared because God was not with him at this point. His presence was not there. Why? Because God wasn't being honored. Choices we make, we choose to honor God or not. And as we've talked with fasting and praying, and as we've talked with tithing, there's a blessing and a curse to everything we do. The blessing is His presence. He's with us, in us, through us, working. Heaven is being revealed through us. The curse is we're apart from Him. And we're just doing things on our own. And we can even say we're doing it in the name of Jesus. Remember what the goat said in the New Testament? But we fed the poor, we did this, we did that. And Jesus said, I don't know You. We play church, God. I never missed a Sunday in 7 years. But I never showed up in Your heart. I was never there, never invited. You didn't honor me. We want to honor Him in the things we do, doing it the right way, His way. And so He didn't want to bring the ark in. So what did He do? He said, just send it to Obed-Edom. Send it to his house. See, this used to always get me upset. Like, why did God allow this guy to die where he was meant to do so well? He was just trying to protect the ark of God. Well, God doesn't need our protection. We don't need to defend God. We just need to do it His way. But now, in his fear, he did something. Whether David realized who this guy was or didn't, or did, I don't know 100%. But he finally did something right, maybe even by accident. Maybe it was the Holy Spirit's prompting. But Obed-Edom, the Gittite here, comes from the family of Levites. So why did God bless this guy's house? Well, because the ark was where it was supposed to be, in the care of somebody of Levitical descent who were ordained to be priests, who were supposed to be taking care of the ark. So Obed-Edom's home was blessed because finally it was done God's way. His presence was in the place where it needed to be facilitated through ones who have been ordained and anointed and called by God. Now, New Testament, we are all priests. We are all called to house His presence. So don't say, well, oh, it's pastor's job to do this and to do that. No, no. Holy Spirit's in you. You are a priest. Okay? So you can do this. I can do this. We all do this now. But we do it God's way. We do it God's way. So Obed-Edom's house was blessed for 3 months. And then what did they finally do? They put the ark, they carried it into Jerusalem the right way. Obed-Edom's family. Again, priests, Levites, carried it into Jerusalem. So now, at the end of this passage, in 2 Samuel, when they started rejoicing and praising God and playing as they were bringing the ark in, and we read about David even tearing his clothes and saying, I'll even be more undignified than this, the presence of God was overwhelming because they were doing it the right way. True worship at that point was beginning to take place. The heart of God was being revealed the right way. They weren't going through the motions. They were not having nice services. They were being blessed because the presence of God was with them because they were good stewards of His presence. Go back to that word stewardship. It was done the right way. And God honors us when we do things the right way. His presence was being cared for the right way. So, the more I thought about this all week and prayed over this, just brought back thoughts and revelations and conviction even. Am I stewarding this? Am I stewarding His presence in me as a priest in a way that honors Him? Am I stewarding my time as His priest? Because in my time, His presence flows the way I need to. Am I stewarding my family through His presence the right way? And I failed at some point times. Didn't do it right. Other times I did an okay job. Other times God worked in a mighty way. My workplace, wherever I am, as I even think about what's to come beginning January 1st, I'm not waiting January 1st. As we said last week, kind of Lord is starting to stir things up now. This might be the Christmas season for people to go and they're doing their normal Christmas thing, but the Lord has told us our normal thing is not the world's normal thing, it's revival. Embers of revival are being stirred as we enter 2018. So let's steward that. Let's steward His presence in that the right way, doing things His way, because I want God honored, because when He is honored, He honors me. When He is blessed, He pours out the blessing. Okay? When I do things His way, what I'm doing is opening the door for heaven to show up, to manifest in this place. And this is our heart's desire. This needs to be our heart's desire. David got it right, finally. And God blessed him. And we have a God who's so filled with grace. But we have to make the choice to do it His way. We can't half-heartedly do it. Because I go back to this. When I don't have the fear of the Lord, I don't recognize the consequences of separation from God. Therefore, I will do what I feel, what I think is right. Because when I'm not in His presence, I don't know His heart. So I'm going to do what I think is best, even with the best of intentions. It's going to fall short. Why do I steal a piece of cookie when nobody's looking? Because I don't think I'm going to get away with it. Because I don't have that fear, that reverent awe of the outcome, of who holds the outcome. So when I lie, steal something, even minute things, when I think thoughts I shouldn't think and have an attitude I shouldn't have, when my motives are incorrect and wrong, when I choose to be selfish and not love the way I should love, when I choose to neglect something I should be doing for something I shouldn't be, and I'm flippant about it, it's because I'm not doing it His way, therefore I don't have His presence because I don't have His fear. It goes hand in hand. The fear of the Lord is the foundation of wisdom. The fear of the Lord, the reverent awe of who God is in my life, and that passionate desire to practice His presence every day in my life. That's the key. To want it is the beginning of wisdom. It's the foundation to everything else that we need to build on in our lives. And I'll say this, I need to build on in my life. That's the foundation of it all. The fear of the Lord. So right now, I want to ask if you would just stand with me. Would you just put your hands in that receiving position, your bodies, your hearts, your minds? If you don't know what that is, that's just opening your hands like you're about to get a gift. First, I feel like what first thing we need to do is just simply repent, which is a changing of our minds. So Lord, as a church right now, we just change our mind about the lack of reverent awe of who You are that we've had at times, that has put us in a position where we were not faithful and obedient to You as we should have been. We ask You to forgive us for that. We repent, and we say thank You for Your grace that has washed us clean. And that, Lord, from this day forward, we commit ourselves in the power of You, Holy Spirit, to seek You with all of my heart, all of my mind, all of my soul, all of my strength, to love You. Thank You, Father. Just continue in that worship meditation mode, just receive mode for a few seconds.
It just felt like there was a real grace that some of us have already pivoted in the right direction. And I just feel like there's a real grace in the upcoming year to just order things correctly. And so, yeah, if that's speaking to people, I just bless what God's already ordered in your life. Mm-hmm. I just feel like He's just smiling down at some people that have made some changes. Have changed their mind on some things. I just feel like the Lord is like, yeah, that's my girl. Yeah, that's my guy that is just making those new statements for 2018. And it's not just for 2018. It's a heart change back to what the Lord had for you. So, yeah, we just bless You with that. I also felt like there's a real grace on provision for this year, that some of you guys have really stepped out in faith on finances and some things of the Lord, and I just feel like there's a real grace to just have provision over your life, that blessing of the Lord, because you've done it His way. If you need encouragement on that, you need to see Anne Marie. She has an amazing testimony of what God has done with just the little things in her life and how He's blessed her with so much because of the faithfulness of just doing it God's way. So, yeah, we just love you guys.
Yeah. And the Holy Spirit is just sharing, because there may be some of us struggling with this. One of the hindrances to recognizing sin for what it is that separates us from God's heart is this issue. Because when we don't have the fear of the Lord, we don't realize sin for what it is, and therefore we choose not to repent. Our hearts become cold. So I'm going to release in the name of Jesus right now, Holy Spirit, that You would come and You just convict each one of us in the areas of our lives that we have not submitted to you, that we just need to lay at your altar right now. We just release it to you right now. And that we just simply say, we're sorry, Lord, and call it for what it is. We use the general term of sin, that anything that is not of God, that is apart from the heart of God, we just lay it at your altar right now, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. In a moment, we're going to break up into small groups to pray for each other, but just want to let the Holy Spirit minister, make sure everything needs to be done this way is done first. Yes, Lord. Jesus.
All right. Dad was just kind of showing me a picture. I just saw like a bowl, you know, and ingredients, and someone making cookies, and people just following the same ingredients every time. But I really feel like, you know, I just saw a picture of someone else, like, I'm not going to follow that ingredients anymore. I'm going to try some new stuff. I'm going to try some of my own things, you know, add my mix, make it better. I feel like some people just kind of live church, just following the same way, the status quo, you know. But I really feel like God's just kind of encouraging people to just step out and just try new things, just follow him on a new level. And yeah, that's pretty much what he's been showing me.
Stepping out, doing things at a new level. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, Father. Lord, as we just release everybody right now to go into their small prayer groups of threes and fours, that they just hear from you, Lord. I want to ask that when you guys pray, don't just start speaking. Listen to the Holy Spirit first. Take a moment to just breathe and listen to the Holy Spirit. And then as you pray for one another, in just again, threes and fours, no more than four, then go ahead and pray as the Holy Spirit moves you to pray in Jesus' name. So you're free to get together in your small groups right now, small family units. And pray one another. Nobody be alone.